If you guys will please give the Word of God your undivided attention. We'll get to having some other kinds of fun later, but I want to tell you, preaching is the most fun for me. And it's not just because I'm up here. I love the preaching of the Word of God. It thrills my soul. And so I hope that you'll learn to love the preaching too. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're just going to look at a couple of verses tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. There ought to be a few Bibles in the pew in front of you if you want to grab one of those and use it, or the scriptures are right up here on the screen. So let's look at that together as we look into the Word of God tonight. And I'm going to ask you to do this very quietly, very respectfully. Stand up. I know quiet and respectful are difficult things, but let's try it. Very quietly, very respectfully, and let's look to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 5:14, the Bible says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Father in heaven, thank you for this great opportunity to be in your house, Lord. Thank you for all who have come to be here tonight. And I pray that right now the preaching of your word would work in our hearts and our lives. Your Holy Spirit would convict our hearts. Lord, that we would repent of our sin and put all of our faith and trust in Christ alone. Thank you for the death, the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And for that gospel truth, Lord, we're here tonight. And Father, I pray if there's anybody here tonight who is at that age of accountability and they've never repented, they've never trusted Christ, they've never cried out to you for salvation, they've never been born again, I pray tonight would be the night they would repent and trust in Christ with all their heart, cry out to you in prayer, and receive the gift of eternal life. And Lord, for all who are saved, I pray you'd stir something up in our hearts, Lord, that we would be constrained by your great love for us, that from this moment on we would live for you and not to ourselves. Lord, please help me now, and please bless your word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Very quietly, please be seated. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Now, this isn't a word that we use a lot, but God's word says we ought to be constrained. And the word constrained, it really means to hold together. And the idea in Scripture that you get is to be pressed. Like, have you ever been in a large crowd of people where people are just pushing up against you? Kind of like right now in the pew. Or another thing that might describe it is to be arrested. I won't have a show of hands to see who's been arrested, because I know a lot of you who have been arrested, and you would be embarrassed if you had to raise your hand. So we'll not do that tonight. You're welcome. This idea of being constrained, it means to be pressed in. It means to be held together. It means to be arrested, as though... Listen, if you did something wrong and the police had to come and they tackled you and they put the handcuffs on you, you would be arrested. In other words, they would have a hold on you and you wouldn't be able to go or do anything else because the police have you. And this, that's maybe a negative picture, but that's the picture we get of this word constrained. He says the love of Christ has constrained us. It constrains us. It presses in on us. It arrests our attention. We have to live for Christ because he died for us and rose again. It's got a hold of my life. Now listen, there are a lot of people, and I want to challenge you young people, especially tonight. Even the ones that are talking to each other and not listening. I want to challenge you to not be a typical American Christian. I want to challenge you to put all your faith in Christ alone, that he died for you and rose again. I want to challenge you to live for God with all of your heart and love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Don't play around with Christianity, because it's not a game. God's only son died for you and rose again to give you life, not so you could go back into the world and live like the world and be like the world and live in sin. No, he died for you and rose again to change your life. Not just your eternity, but he wants to change your life now. And you can be different. You don't have to be like the world. And you don't have to be like what I kindly call American Christianity. American Christians today are all about the show. They're moved by emotional things. And that's not real. Real Christianity is faith in Christ that changes you from the inside out. It's life that's built on the Word of God. And it's a life that's held together by the love of Christ. The love of Christ constraineth us. Jesus had this in his life. In Luke chapter 12, verses 49 and 50, he said, I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be? This word straitened is the same word that we see in our text, constraineth. Jesus said, I'm straitened. He said, I'm constrained. He said, I'm pressed in upon until I fulfill the work that God has called me to do. And that ought to be the way we are. I've got to do what God's called me to do. I've got to live for Jesus Christ. I've got to study my Bible and pray. I've got to be a witness for Jesus. I've got to be in the house of God to worship him and to hear the preaching of his word. I've got to do it. It's pressing in on me. I'm arrested by what Christ has done for me. Jesus said, I'm straight until it's done. Acts 18:5, when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. He was pressed in the spirit. It's the same word, constrained, straightened. He said, I've got to preach Jesus to people. I can't live without it. So we're challenged to be constrained, and it's because of the love of Christ. Why? Because he died. Because he died. If you look on the screen, let's see if we can get this verse, Romans 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Because he died, in our text it says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And Jesus Christ died for us. Look at this. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. You may not know this, but that's you. You think, well, I'm a pretty good person. You know, some of you know this because we've been to your house, but we like to go around town and knock on people's door. And one of the questions we like to ask people is if you would consider yourself to be a good person. I'll ask you now, how many of you, would you consider yourself to be a good person? Just raise your hand if you think you're a good person. Okay? And most of the people I meet, some of you are like, I'm not falling into that trap. I know where that's going. Most of the people I meet would say, I'm a good person. And I'll say, well, what makes you think you're a good person? They'll say, well, I've never killed anybody. Welcome to America. This is our standard. Murderers bad, everyone else is good. But I got news for you. When we stand before God in judgment, because it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment, God is not going to judge you based on whether you murdered somebody or not and other people who did. Good people didn't murder, bad people did. No, God's going to judge us based on this book. And I got news for you, friends. We're all going to be guilty that day. We're all guilty. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But don't let that make you feel better. Like this, how many of you have ever told a lie? Right? And what do you call somebody who tells a lie?
A liar.
A liar. So what are you?
A liar.
A liar. That's not fun, is it? Because I don't like liars. But I am one. And did you know the scripture says in Revelation 21:8 that all liars will have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now listen, don't think, well, everybody lies, so it's not that big a deal. No, you're a liar, and God's going to judge you by breaking his commandments. He said, well, yeah, I told a lie, but I never murdered anybody. But the Bible says that if you offend him one point, you're guilty of all. And what I'm trying to tell you is we are all guilty before God. And because of our sin guilt, the Bible says we're all dead in our trespasses and sins. Look on at verse 7 here, Romans 5:7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so even though you're a sinner, even though you've lied and stolen, and there's all kinds of sins that we've committed, and we have not believed in Jesus Christ, we're guilty before God. But God died for us anyway. Jesus died for us anyway. So we ought to be constrained by the love of Christ. How do we know he loved us? Because he died for us. And he died for us because we're all dead. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. 1 John 2:2 says, and he is the propitiation, or the payment, for our sins. and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And Jesus, friends, listen, he died for you. I talk to people a lot. Talk to them about whether they're going to go to heaven or hell. And they'll talk about how they're a good person or how they went to church or how they did this or that. But I want you to understand something as plainly as I can say it tonight. The only way anybody will get to go to heaven is because Jesus died for their sins. But I want you to understand the gospel tonight. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. But the gospel is of no effect to you if you don't believe. And believing in Jesus isn't just, oh yeah, I know there was a man named Jesus who died, the Romans killed him. No, believing in Jesus means to trust in him with all your heart. You trust in Christ and him alone. So we ought to be constrained because he died, and he died because we were all dead. And because he died, those that live, in other words, those who have been saved, those who have been born again, shouldn't live for themselves, but they should live for Jesus Christ. You go back to our text, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Listen, there's no reason for you to live for yourself. There's no reason for you to live for sin. There's no reason for you to live for the world or the things of the world or the things that you can get from this world. All of those things are going to burn up. The only thing that makes any sense is to live for Jesus, who died for you and rose again. In other words, he paid your sin debt. He conquered death and hell and the grave. And you can live for the one who died for you and rose again. Why would you live for anything else? Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, I'm constrained. He said, I'm pressed. He said, I have to live for this one who died for me and rose again. And that's the challenge for us tonight. Listen to these verses real quickly. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So here's the question tonight as we get ready for an invitation verse. One, are you now, tonight, dead in your trespasses and sins, or are you alive in Christ? Because that's the only two options. Either you have never repented of your sin and put your faith in Christ alone, and if that's the case, then you are dead in trespasses and sins, and the lake of fire is what is in your future. Or you'd be willing to turn away from your sin, to put your faith in Christ alone, and you have been given everlasting life, and tonight you live. So the question is, are you saved? If you're not, we beg of you to trust Christ tonight. Here in just a second, we're going to sing a verse of invitation. We're going to sing a song and give you an opportunity to respond to the gospel. Maybe you're not sure if you're saved or not. Maybe you want to come talk to me, or you want to get your teacher from Wednesday night or Sunday school and talk to them. But make sure that you know that you're on your way to heaven by faith in Christ alone. And for those of you who are saved, you say, "That's I live. I've been saved." If you live, then let me challenge you. Let the Word of God challenge you. Then henceforth, from this moment on, stop living for yourself and start living for your Savior. Let's stand together. We're going to sing what number? Now, before we start singing, I want you guys to listen, please. Everybody stand up. The invitation time is a very serious time for people to respond to the leadership, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's not a time to play and laugh and be silly. This is serious. This is serious, so please be serious. And if the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart, you come right now while we sing.